And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Great to be with you again for another edition of Power of Prophecy, being heard around the world thanks to shortwave radio. Of course, we're on the internet across the globe as well, on streaming audio at powerofprophecy.com and on the American Voice Network as well. Well, we've got a great program tonight because I'd like to talk to you about deception. Deception. It sure surrounds our very lives today, doesn't it? Everywhere we're seeing counterfeits and lies and deception. Reading a gentleman over the weekend, and he was saying they're not just lies out there that we have to confront each and every day. They're the fathers of lies and the grandfathers of lies. they're getting bigger and bigger. I mean, we have a legacy, it seems like, of lies and liars. And it seems that politics and religion particularly, but politics also, are two, those two are the chief domains, politics and religion. Every day another liar comes forth, and you know, if you've got a lot of money, and some people with some very wicked psychology behind them as your handlers, you can go pretty far in politics. I remember a movie many years ago. Really one of my favorite movie stars or TV personalities. Andy Griffith played the main role in the movie. It was called, if I can recall now about this, maybe some of you are going to write me and correct me, but I believe it was called, the movie, A Face in the Crowd. It was the movie actually that made Andy Griffith famous before he had the Andy Griffith Show on television. And as my little granddaughter would say, what a hoot that was, the Andy Griffith Show. They don't have the clean, family, wholesome shows these days like they had back then. But in any case, this movie, Andy Griffith didn't make out too well. He was not a good man. I'm amazed they changed his image. And I remember he was in a movie, No Time for Sergeants. It was sort of funny. And then they finally put him on the Andy Griffith Show. You know, Andy Griffith has that sort of folksy, backwoods, little town persona. Makes you want to like him a little bit. You could just imagine he and little old Opie heading down to the river there to do a little fishing, you know. Well, in the movie, A Face in the Crowd, though, someone discovered Andy Griffith. I can't remember what role he played. I think when they found him, he was a disc jockey of some little old podunk station or whatever. But they said, you know, with his folksy sort of Will Rogers type of, you know, personality, a lot of people, you know, that appeals to him. And maybe we could make him a star. In the movie, Andy Griffith played the character named Lonesome Rhodes. Lonesome Rhodes. We could make him a star. And so they gave him a television show, and he would go on there and, you know, just talk about, you know, just cornpone type things. And he'd say, you know what, folks, you know, now don't listen to this or do this. And, you know, now I'm just, you know, Lonesome Rhodes, but I think you ought. And, you know, people love that. They love that kind of style. And before long, his show was the top one on TV, the Lonesome Rhodes Show. And he had a huge following. He'd just get up there and sort of be like, what was that country music show they had? Hee-Haw. He was the hee-haw kind of guy, but everybody liked him. Lonesome Rhodes. But actually, he was very diabolical. He loved to deceive people. He was a sociopath in the movie. Now, I'm not talking about Andy Griffith. I'm talking about the character he played, Lonesome Rhodes. And, you know, he was able to deceive the people into loving him on that TV show. You need to talk about America and our military, and we got to do the right thing. And, oh, people just ate that up. And Lonesome Rhodes, everybody loved him. Everybody trusted him. Everybody believed in him. They had faith in Lonesome Rhodes. He couldn't do any wrong. So they, and of course, Lonesome Road's got more and more evil, wicked, deceptive. And he began to brag backstage. Look at those people, says Lonesome Rhodes. They're just eating out of my hands. Look at them. There's a bunch of stupid pigs out there. They're so, such idiots. If I told them to go kill somebody, they'd do it. Look at those stupid people out there in the audience. They don't know any better. They'd do anything Lonesome Rhodes said. And he ate it up. He loved being able to manipulate people through his mannerisms and his voice and his cornpone way. Well, finally they said, you know, we need to do more than entertainment here. We could use this man in politics. Oh, yeah, the best entertainers finally become politicians. And they had a guy they wanted to run for U.S. Senator, so they decided they'd have a big rally. They'd have a big rally for this guy running for senator. And so they had an auditorium set up, about 15,000 people. I mean, huge. Well, the reason they got so many people out there, they said Lonesome Rhodes is going to be there to introduce him and endorse him. Well, all the people wanted to come in here and see Lonesome Rhodes, the Andy Griffith type of guy. They loved him all over America. So he comes out, does his little cornpone thing, and says, now, you know, so-and-so is going to be the next U.S. Senator, and he's a wonderful man. You got to vote for him because he's going to do this and that and this and that for you. And everybody applauded. They loved it. Now, Lonesome Rhodes didn't know one thing about politics or the issues, or he didn't know the difference between Republican or Democrat. But he said it didn't matter. They'll believe me anyway, whatever I tell them to do. And they did. They were going wild there in the auditorium. And then Lonesome Rhodes, if I could remember, he goes backstage and tells, I think it was Patricia Neal, played the part of the woman who was sort of one of the handlers of him. But she sort of had a romance for him, had a yen for him. And she could see then he was really an evil, manipulative guy. He wasn't some cornpone backdoor, backwoods type of guy. He was diabolical. He may have been stupid, you know, to the intellectuals, but oh, he knew what he was doing. He did have those people eating out of his hand. And unfortunately for Lonesome Rhodes, the movie ended with him getting those people all worked up and lathered up, and boy, they were just going nuts. They certainly would have voted for the candidate that Lonesome Rhodes told them to, but then Lonesome Rhodes made the mistake. As he often did after one of his performances, he went backstage, and he told Patricia Neal, he said, did you see how those idiots out there in the audience, did you see them? They were going wild for me. They were about to pull their hair. They're just a bunch of stupid bumpkins. And he went on for about 5 minutes, you know, demeaning the people, criticizing them, making fun of them. But unfortunately for Lonesome Rhodes, they had accidentally left the microphone in the PA system on. And the whole crowd, and millions more watching all over television land around the world, heard those words. And then they knew who Lonesome Rhodes really was. Well, we got another Lonesome Rhodes now. Oh, he may not be so backwoodsy and country style as Andy Griffith's Lonesome Rhodes, but he's a face in the crowd that was just picked out. They said, we could make this man into a star. And so they have. His name, Glenn Beck. Now, the rest of this program, I want to talk about the Glenn Beck deception. Now, some people would say, well, now you're going to criticize Glenn Beck. He's my hero. I'm going to turn off the radio right now. Well, that's okay. It's up to you. It's a free country. At least it is right now. You may not have that opportunity sometime in the future, but now you do. You can turn off Tex-Mars. Other people out there might be saying, well, you know, Tex Mars, he's just jealous of Glenn Beck. Because Glenn Beck, he's got a huge audience Tex Mars doesn't have. Well, that may be what you think. I guess, to tell the truth about it, I'm sure at some time in my life when I was a younger man, you know, I sort of liked the look of the crowds and the sound of the crowds and the applause. And, you know, I had books at the top of the bestsellers list and, in fact, number one in the world, three straight books, made me a pretty popular guy. And every day, one radio and TV show after another would call and beg me to come on the air. Now, I sort of know what it's like, but I was never as big as Glenn Beck. And I guess, to be very honest with you, if you think that about me, that I'm just jealous or envious of Mr. Beck, Well, all I can say is you're wrong. I think I'm a little bit tired out. I'm a little exhausted. You know, not only did I spend a full career in the Air Force, but I've had Power of Prophecy Ministries going for 25 years now, practically. Quarter of a century. No, I don't think I have the, what would you call it, the energy or the want to be Glenn Beck. No. So don't even try to pin that on me. I get calls now, people inviting me to churches and to conferences, and I almost always tell them no. I've got other things to do, like my radio programs, which I love, my newsletters, my website, writing articles for that, and my books. And by the way, I've got a new one coming out in about 2 more months. No, I'm not interested in being another Glenn Beck. But I am interested in Glenn Beck. I'm interested in how he is deceiving people. It's not that Glenn Beck is so powerfully smart that he can do it, because almost anybody can be made into a star. Have you noticed in Hollywood they can take some of the plainest, ugliest women and put a PR machine behind them and say, oh, isn't she beautiful? And they put lovely clothes on her and they parade her around all the shows. You know, she's on the Good Morning Show and the Today Show and The View, the women's show, you know, and the Jay Leno show and the David Letterman. And everybody keeps talking about what a beauty she is. Well, she's America's most wonderful looking star. She's absolutely, all the men are gaga over her. In fact, there is a woman they made into a star named Lady Gaga. She's about as ugly as old soap, but somehow or another, she's been made into a pretty thing by the press. I remember some years ago, they were telling me that this Madonna, ooh, what a beauty she is, so sexy, so sensuous. My goodness. Goodness gracious. I mean, I shouldn't talk about a person's looks, but Madonna? I mean, my brother-in-law had a bulldog, and she looks a little bit like him, but I wouldn't call that lovely. You know, now some people would. They like bulldogs. Okay, well, then you might like Madonna, because she looks a little bit like a bulldog. You know, face and legs and body, torso. Ooh, even my broadcast engineer, Jerry, over here, he just wincing. He's like, ugh. Well, he's a real man. He knows what beautiful women look like. And I may have forgotten, but I think I know. I tell Wanda I don't know, but anyway, she knows I'm just fibbing to her, you know. But then on the other hand, I think Wanda's lovely, and I really do. You know, I'm very prejudiced for her, but I think I tell the truth about how lovely Wanda is, my wife. Well, in any case, Jerry almost messed up on that one, didn't I? Oh, she'd probably be listening to this program. She's not in the studio now, but I'll get in trouble. Okay. The point is, folks, you take a face in the crowd and you can make them into a big star. Somebody years ago, I was with another author who was I had 3 number one Christian best-selling books, but this guy had, he'd sold copies in the millions and millions and millions. And I was with him back at a TV studio. We were waiting to go on the air on this talk show. I was going to go on, and then he was going to come on after me. We were chatting in what they call the green room, which is sort of the place where they ask you to wait until your time comes to be taken into the studio. And they have chairs and a couch in there and maybe some refreshments for you, coffee and tea or something, and, you know, maybe a few hors d'oeuvres or, I don't know, cookies or something while you're sitting waiting in the green room. And they had a third author there, too. All 3 of us were waiting to go on this TV show, this popular national TV show. And the third guy, who's an author, said to the top author, the guy that, you know, sold 10 times as many books as even I had, and I sold a lot of books under the name of Tex Mars, but he said to him, how do you get to be such a famous best-selling author? Now, the famous best-selling author that had sold these tens of millions of books just looked at him and looked at him. And then he said, you want to know how to become a famous best-selling author. The guy said, yeah, you know, I've written 3 or 4 books, and none of them are bestsellers like yours and Mr. Morris's, but I sure would like to know how to become a best-selling author. How do you get so famous? And then the guy looked at him some more. And I was waiting. Don't you have anything to say to the guy? Give him some little bit of advice. Be nice to him. And finally he looked, he said, don't you understand? You got to have a public relations agency. And then the guy said to him, the wannabe, he said, well, doesn't it matter whether you've got a good product or not? I mean, your novels are really terrific. Doesn't it matter? And the guy looked at him again like he was dumb. He said, no, it doesn't matter. My novels could read like a brick. They could be boring, stupid. Don't you get it, fella? It doesn't matter. You need a public relations agency. You need publicity. And I thought about that a long time. That's all it took. You don't have to be a great writer. You don't have to have ideas. You need PR. Somebody to promote you. Then we come to Glenn Beck. He doesn't know a lot. Some say he doesn't look like so much, although I think he's a nice-looking gentleman. But I know one thing, he's got backers. And it helps to have an entire church system behind you, as he has the Mormon Church, the so-called Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, headquartered, and that's where their great tabernacle is, in Salt Lake City, Utah. That is a great support system for you. But there's others backing Glenn Beck. Take this big God and honor Restore America rally that was held this last weekend. You know, they had over 300,000 people show up. Some say it could have been 500,000. I think even the liberal media were sort of impressed with that, even though they seem to hate Glenn Beck as much as, or not quite as much, but maybe as much as they hate Sarah Palin. But he had this big God rally, God in country, God in honor rally. And there you could see the reflecting pool and huge obelisk, which is the Washington Monument, and as the beautiful government buildings in the backdrop. And it was an interesting rally that he had. Now, I didn't listen to it all, just a little bit, because basically, I shouldn't tell you this, but I knew what he was going to say. I read about it later. I saw the transcript, so I'm sort of going from memory now. I may not know it word for word, but I read what the guy said, and none of it surprised me. I could write a speech like that, and, give me 20 minutes, and I could write it. Could have written it for him. If I was out to deceive people, I'm a pretty good writer, and so that would be easy to do. But if you've read any of my 40-some-odd books, you'd know that's what I don't do. I simply tell the truth. I research, investigate, and tell the truth. Not a lot of deception there, not a lot of manipulation in the writings of Tex Mars, but I believe they're worth reading because they're truth. But let's get back to the Glenn Beck deception. Who chose Beck? I think the Illuminati elite chose him. But then they did Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, and yes, of course, all the little people out there, such as Brian Williams and Katie Couric, and the whole group were chosen for their particular little roles. You know, as Shakespeare said, every man plays a role. You know, the world is a big theater or a stage, and everybody plays his little roles at a certain time in their life. And Glenn Beck is playing a great role. He's a pretender. He's a counterfeit conservative, of course. Now, let's look at Glenn Beck's career. First, let's stop off at this rally. Let's take a look at it. Some people would say, Tex Mars, why would you knock this rally? Glenn Beck talked about God. They talked about honor. They talked about the military and what they've done for this country. There wasn't a lot of politics there. Well, you know, friends, Marshall McLuhan was a psychologist, mind manipulator, that knew Madison Avenue publicity quite well, and he wrote about it. He wrote a book one time, and he said this, and it was, I think it's become his most famous saying. Marshall McLuhan wrote back in the late 60s, as far as advertising, as far as the media, as far as the message that goes into people's minds and changes minds and works so effectively, he says, the medium is the message. It doesn't always matter what you say, but it's where you're at, how it's delivered, what the backdrop is. The medium, the tools, in other words, that is the message. For example, I noticed that Barack Obama also spoke to the nation this week, claiming that the war in Iraq had ended. And he said in the Oval Office, the place of authority, and right behind him on the credenzas were 4 or 5 8x10 pictures of his wife and children, and I think one was of his grandmother and grandfather. Pictures of the family. Remember a famous speech by President Richard Nixon called the Checkers speech. He actually gave a speech about his dog Checkers. Well, not getting into it, but it was one of his most famous speeches, the famous Checkers speech. He was vice president. He wanted to run for president. But some said he was involved in a scandal, a money scandal back in the state of California, and he had to go on national TV to explain it all away. Or even the president at the time, Dwight D. Eisenhower, was not going to back him for the presidency. And he gave his famous Checkers speech. And I remember he came, and there he was in his office looking very formal in his suit and tie and all that. But behind him were the pictures of his daughters and his wife and him. Little, you know, family stuff. And that impresses people. You know, a refuge of a scoundrel, they say, is the American flag. And, you know, people wrap themselves in the flag. And, you know, if you really want to influence people in the United States, be sitting at your desk and behind you show all the flags. That's why at the Republican and Democratic conventions, they always have the proper things behind them. They'll show the American flag waving and scenes of American, you know, stuff. Oh, yes. The medium is the message. As much as what the speaker says, important is what is behind him, the flag waving, the scenery all around him. The medium is the message. And at that great rally, that was really the message. All of these nice, polite, mid-Americans, not troublemakers, not a bunch of radicals, just good old, solid, hard-working American citizens. Hundreds of thousands of them. They didn't carry any signs. They weren't really demonstrating exactly. They weren't angry. They were just there to show their support for God, honor, country, values. Who could find fault with that? Only a Tex-Mars, or maybe somebody that listens to the Power of Prophecy radio program, could find fault with that. But friends, you got to look and decipher what's really going on. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Lenin, Netanyahu and Ariel Sharon in Israel. They all had their symbols of patriotism, flag, honor, country. Hitler even wore a uniform, and that impressed people. Wanda told me the reason she fell in love with me was I wore Air Force blue uniform. She said, Tex, when I saw you, it looked like you had just stepped out of one of those recruiting posters with your blue officer's uniform on. Wowee. We were a lot younger then. Today I can't fit into that uniform, but that's another story. They wouldn't want me for the poster anymore. No longer a poster child. Well, Glenn Beck, a face out of the crowd, like Lonesome Rhodes, been chosen. You know, I checked a little bit into this rally that they had in Washington. And he gave the appearance that one day he just went on the air and said, hey, folks, come on down to Washington, D.C. We're going to have a rally. It's sort of impromptu. And it was a big success. But in fact, they began preparing this over a year ago, his handlers. They put all of their money, all of their organizations, all of their advertising agencies in Washington and New York to work. They have spent millions of dollars to get this rally. You see, it takes a long time to organize something like this. Get all the buses, all the organizations, all the people, all the churches together. Oh, yes. The PR people did a lot of work. This cost millions of dollars to put together a rally like this. And, you know, Glenn Beck said he had no idea that it was going to fall on the same date when Martin Luther King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech in Washington, D.C. I had no idea, says Lonesome Rhodes Beck. It was going to be on the same date. Can you believe that? What a coincidence. Well, Reverend Al Sharpton, he's a little bit of a manipulator himself, as you know, and a con man. He said, oh, he was putting on. Beck knew what day this was going to be. And, of course, Sharpton was very jealous and envious, and he had his own rally. Only about 15,000 people showed up for his. And there was old Sharpton. I heard him on TV, and he was telling the people, we ain't going to give this day to Beck. It ain't his day, it's our day. In other words, what he was saying is, you white honkies, this ain't your day. This is our day. We the blacks, it's our day. Don't try to take our Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream. It's our dream, it ain't your dream. That was Al Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton. He was angry. He knew it didn't just happen by incidents. Beck didn't just go on the air Friday and say, this weekend, let's have a big rally. Let's have a fun time. Come to my big barbecue down in Washington, D.C. Now, you have to understand that Beck has been chosen for several reasons. He's entertaining. He started out as a disc jockey. He's fired one station because of some tricks he played. He was one of those DJs that would play tricks on people. Phone them up, make fun of them, things like that. Yeah, that's Beck. And he was a face in the crowd. They pulled him out. And at first, you know, he went to work for Cable News Network. They were looking, I believe, for a Mormon. They had the Larry King show already, but Larry's getting old, cranky. Larry, of course, married a Mormon, an LDS woman. And he was still married to her at the time that Glenn Beck went on and had the Glenn Beck show there on CNN, Cable News Network. So they had the lineup of Beck and Larry King. The only problem was that only the radical liberals, you know, the commie left-wingers, watched Cable News Network anymore. So Beck couldn't really get going there. So his handlers, and by the way, I might mention Larry King, has split up now from his Mormon wife after he, you know, I don't know whether he had sex or propositioned her sister or whatever. That Larry King's quite a work, isn't he? And he's had, I don't know how many wives. He's had more wives than Elizabeth Taylor had husbands. But in any case, Glenn Beck, the big boy, said, you know, he needs a place to really have a foothold. You can't have that at CNN. We'll take him over to Fox Network. And after they brought him over to Fox Network, Rupert Murdoch, the Zionist Wackos Network, they teamed him up with old Bill O'Reilly, who's the most popular man on cable news networks at all in the whole world. Bill O'Reilly's number one, the O'Reilly factor. They even put him out on the hustings. He and O'Reilly going out giving talks together in theaters across America, trying to build Glenn Beck up. And he was often a guest on the Bill O'Reilly Factor Show to create a popularity, a wave of popularity, a tsunami wave for Glenn Beck. They were building him up. When we return in just a minute, we'll talk more about the Glenn Beck deception, how easy it is to scam the American people. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Tex Mars again here. Have you ever read my best-selling book, New Age Cults and Religions? Tex Mars' book of New Age Cults and Religion. In this book, it's over 350 pages long, I expose and unmask over 100 major New Age cults and religions. And they're active today. And one of them is the Mormon Church. Yes, it's a New Age occultic religion. And Glenn Beck is a member of this church. When Glenn Beck talks about Jesus and God, he has an entirely different God and Jesus he's talking about. It's not your Jesus, not if you're a Christian. It's a satanic Jesus. Oh, there is a satanic Jesus. Absolutely. And that's Beck's God. On the other half of this program, we're going to talk about the religion of Glenn Beck. It's the religion of 15 to 20 million people across this planet. And it seems like the entire state of Utah believes in this satanic religion called Mormonism or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Oh my goodness, that name is just all wrong for what that church really is. But we'll talk about that, what that church really believes in. But there's an entire chapter or section in this book, New Age Cults and Religions, which exposes the Mormon church. You'll know what they really believe in. In fact, you'll know all of these different groups, from Hare Krishna to Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, it covers them all. Even the Mayan religion. 2012 is coming up. Many people are now saying, we've got to return to the great days of the Mayan and Incan peoples. We've got to return to the religion of the earth and the great feather serpent god, Quetzalcoatl, that was worshipped by the Mayans and the Aztecs and the Incas. Oh, my goodness gracious. You'll have to know about that because 2012 is right around the corner. Over 100 New Age cults and religions exposed in my book, Texmar's Book of New Age Cults and Religions. Now, please, for $20, which goes into the ministry, doesn't come to me, goes right into this ministry. We're able to keep this radio program going and all of other ministry activities. We will send you a copy of this great book. $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling. It's over 350 pages in length. Texmar's Book of New Age Cults and Religions. To get your copy for $25 total, postpaid, please phone us here during the work week at 1-800, that's toll free now, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also call us on our regular line, and that would be area code 512-263-9780. You can write to us, send us a check or money order or cash, $25. Ask for the book New Age Cults and Religions by Tex Mars. Yours truly. And our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We've been here about 15 years now. And I think we're going to be here, well, probably till Jesus comes. I hope that's not too long. I hope it doesn't take another 15 years. But whatever is the case, we're going to be right here. We'll be glad to fulfill your order very quickly and efficiently and as friendly as we can make it. I promise you that. Because we work for you, dear friends. Of course, God is our superintendent. But then we serve you. And we always put you right there in our mind. You're it, as far as we're concerned. After God comes our friendly folks that make up this ministry, the ones listening to my voice today. Now, online at powerofprophecy.com, you can get the book, New Age Cults and Religions. And I guess that's three ways to get it then, isn't it? Of course, you could get it through Amazon.com and all those others. But we hope you'll get it through the ministry because every cent goes right back into the work of God as we expose evildoers and uphold the light of truth. Let's return to my regular program here, our regular program, Power of Prophecy. You're listening to Tex Mars. We're discussing the Glenn Beck deception. Let's talk a little bit about what happened at this rally. As I understand it, Beck started off talking about how, you know, God first chose the people in Israel. Ah, yes, get the old Israel message in there. And then he said, at the same time, while God was working with his chosen people, Israel, on the other side of the world, here on this side of the world, in the Americas, we had the Native American Indians, and they had God. Now, I'm paraphrasing Mr. Beck, but that's basically what he said. So we went from the God of Israel to the God of the Native American Indians. And he said they were the same God. Wow. And as I understand it, behind him, he had a Jewish rabbi, Rabbi Daniel Lapin, L-A-P-I-N. I know Rabbi Lapin. He's one of the biggest fakes in the world. And he's one of these guys that loves to go shake hands with Christians and say, can't we all just get along? You know, we Jews and Christians, we love you. You love us. You know, he sort of sings the Barney, the Purple Dinosaur song. But unfortunately, he's a Jewish rabbi and he knows what he's doing. But I suspect, and I know I can be proven correct, that Rabbi Lapin, who's founded this I Love Christians and Christians Love Jews organization, and he gets more money from stupid Christians who give him money than he does from Jews. Such is the power of deception. Then there's the Native American Indians. And Beck says they had God too. Well, they do have God. And the Jews have God. Jesus identified the God of the Jews. He said, your God is the devil. Your father is the devil. And his works you will do. Now, some ancient Israelites had God. Certainly. We know about Moses and Abraham and Jacob. And we know about, my goodness, Isaac and Amos and Nehemiah and all kind of wonderful people. But as a whole, the nation of Israel, the physical nation, kept rebelling against God until God finally said, I've had enough of you. And Jesus said, I am taking the kingdom and giving it to another nation. Whoa. Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. The kingdom is taken from you, he told the Jews, and given to another nation, which will produce the fruits thereof. That's the Christian nation. That's the Christian people. That's the chosen people of God. The old covenant is gone, vanished, said Paul. We have a new covenant, a new testament, Jesus Christ. But the evangelical community doesn't understand that. They still believe in the God of Israel. Well, of course, there is a God of Israel. But who is he? He's the devil, because they hate Jesus Christ in their religion, their Talmudic religion. Now, a lady called me on the air the other night. I was on the Butch Paul show on Genesis Network as my good friend Pastor Butch Paul's guest. And a woman called. She said, Tex, I don't like what you say about the Jews. I'll have you know, I worship the God of Israel. And, you know, we were running out of time. I didn't have time to ask her a question. Is that the same God that's God of America and Mexico and Uruguay and Canada and Hawaii and Puerto Rico and 190 other countries in the world? But I suspect she wouldn't have known what I was talking about. Because, you know what? I bet she doesn't worship that God. You see, God is more than just God of Israel. He's God of everything. But she wouldn't have known about that. If that's your God, the God of Israel, I hope you're talking about spiritual Israel, which is the people of God, the Christians. That's spiritual Israel. If you're talking about physical Israel, of course God is God of physical Israel too, but they've rejected him. And I don't care if you're a Mexican, I don't care if you're an Argentinian or a Chinese or an Indonesian or a Filipino. If you reject the God of this universe, whose name is Jesus Christ, the very Word of God, the very Son of God, if you reject him, you are headed straight for hell. Well, can't be. I'm one of the chosen people. I've got Jewish DNA running in my veins. Yeah, well, the devil will lap it up when he's down there with you, my friends. He'll lap up your blood. You better do what you can here on earth. Enjoy yourself. It's going to be a short reward for you. Now, he had also behind him, I understand, a Muslim imam. Oh, Beck had it all. See, Beck said on the O'Reilly Factor the next day, he said, this really had nothing to do with theology. This had to do with God. I had all these religious leaders, you know, Muslim and Jews and Native American Indians and Christian. I had the whole slew of them there. They all worship God. And this was a rally for God and country. No, it was a rally for Satan and country. Can you imagine? Do you think God would stand on a platform with Buddha and the Hindu Krishna and the Jewish so-called God, whereas the Jewish holy book says that Jesus Christ was a blasphemer who deserved to die on the cross, and that Jesus was an illegitimate bastard son of a whore Mary? That's what the Jews teach. That's what the rabbis believe. Do you think that God would stand behind Glenn Beck and go along with that? Do you think God would hold hands with these heathen, monstrous, false devil worshipers? I don't think so. No, that's not right. Forget about thinking. I know he wouldn't. Because he said in his Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me. The Bible, Paul said, you can't drink out of the cup of God and the cup of the devils. You can't do that, my friends. You can't commune with devils and say, it's okay that they don't worship the true God. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Have nothing to do with them. The Bible says they're of the Antichrist. John says in the Bible, the New Testament, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And if someone brings a doctrine other than this in your home, get rid of him. Don't even fellowship with such people. Beck was doing more than fellowshipping with Muslim imams and Jewish rabbis and Native American Indian healers or whatever they were. He was recommending them to you and to the whole world as part of God's family. Well, I can understand that as far as Glenn Beck is concerned, because Glenn Beck himself is a Mormon. Now, as I explained in my book, Tex Mar's Book of New Age Cults and Religions, I know what the Mormons believe. How do I know what the Mormons believe? Have I ever attended a Mormon church? Yeah, I did. I attended a Mormon church. I've debated with Mormon elders. I know everything that they believe in. They're Satanists. Oh, yeah, they're Satanists. Now, let me explain their doctrines to you. The Mormons believe in Jesus, and Beck says, I believe in Jesus. And the stupid people who go to these evangelical churches say, ooh-wee, he's a Christian like me. No, he's not. Let me explain who the Jesus of the Mormons is. But before I do, let me bring to mind the Bible. The Apostle Paul warned you and me in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Watch out. The serpent beguiled Eve, and your minds, if you don't watch it, can be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For, says Paul, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. In other words, contend, fight, have nothing to do with another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. Who then is the Jesus of the Mormons? Because that's their gospel. That's their spirit. You see, the Mormons have their own version of the Bible. They had to rewrite the Bible. Because they could not accept the King James Bible because it tells the truth about who Jesus is. Who is the Mormon Jesus? He's a man who earned his godhood. He's not John 1, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word that was with God from the beginning and was God. That's not the Mormon Jesus. The Mormon Jesus is a polygamist. when he was on earth, in the flesh, Jesus had multiple wives. Mary was one of his wives. Martha was one of his wives. Remember that movie, The Last Temptation of Christ? That's sort of the Jesus of the Mormons. Had multiple wives right here on earth. But listen to this. Now that Jesus is God of this planet, and he's only God of this one planet. You see, in the Mormon faith, there are thousands of planets and thousands of stars. They're innumerable. And there's a different God for every one of them. Jesus is only God of this planet. So when a Mormon says, yes, Jesus is my Lord, he's my God. But of course, if you're on the planet Venus or the planet Mars or Saturn, there's another God up there. Now, before Jesus came down and became God of this solitary planet Earth, he was in heaven, or a place like heaven. Actually, it wasn't heaven. It was another planet. Remember, I told you they're gods of all the planets. And there's a planet that astronomers have never found, but the Mormons say it exists, called Kolub, K-O-L-U-B. That's sort of like heaven. That's where God the Father is. Now, God had a number of sons because he has multiple wives. Yes, God is a polygamist himself. He has thousands, maybe millions of wives. He's a very busy man, God. And the Mormons have a little motto they love. It's this way. It goes this way. As God was, let me make sure I have that. You see, God was man and became God, just so we men can become gods. I've got it all messed up, but some of you will remember the motto of the Mormons. My good friend Ed Decker wrote a book. He used to be a Mormon. He renounced it as satanic and became a true Christian. And he wrote a book about him. And you know what the title of it is? The God Makers. If you're faithful to the Mormon church as a man, you can become a god of your own planet and have multiple wives. This is better than being a Muslim. A faithful Muslim can have 71 virgins as his wives in heaven. But a Mormon can have thousands of wives in heaven. Or not really heaven, his planet. He'll become god of his own planet someday. What a thing to look forward to. God of your own planet, with multiple wives, eternal sex forever and ever. The Mormon way. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, had, 21 to 26 wives, depending on the account. The official Mormon account says he had many, many wives. Some of whom he took from other men, by the way. And that's why they decided to kill him. They got tired of him cheating people of land, faking things, he and his church. And they put him in jail for his crooked, corrupt ways. And while he was in jail, the people of the town stormed the jail and shot him to death. The deputy let him out of the cell he was in and gave Joseph Smith a gun. Said, it's all yours, baby. I'm getting out. He ran out the back door. Joseph Smith killed several men as they were trying to storm the place. And then as they shot him as he lay dead, according to Mormon legend and Masonic legend, because he was a Mason, he gave the famous Masonic hand sign of distress, thinking that many of these men might be Masons and they would save him, but they didn't. They went in and shot him dead anyway. His last words were, is there no balm for the widow's son? Which is another Masonic language, secret language. It means, help me out, man, I'm in trouble, and I'm a Mason. He was a Freemason. And Joseph Smith, being a Mason, a lower level Mason, never made it up to the 33rd degree, but he learned about all their secret handshakes and signs and symbols. And he said, isn't this neat? You know what? I can fake my own religion and use all this Masonic mumbo jumbo. And he did. Did you know today that Glenn Beck wears long johns? They have secret clothing under their clothing. Yeah, strip Glenn Beck, if you can imagine that. And you'll find him wearing what are basically long johns. That's the secret Masonic clothing. Men are not supposed to take that off. Even when they get into bed with their wives, they're not supposed to take that off. When they take a shower, they're not supposed to take it off. strange. And by the way, their secret clothing, the Mormon men have, has Masonic symbols on it. Oh, yes, Masonic symbols on their secret clothing. Oh, boy. And in their churches, at their great tabernacle in Salt Lake City, you will find the Satanic Star. What's that doing there? Well, you have to understand it. It is a satanic religion. And they have all these Masonic signs. The very first temple or tabernacle of the Mormons that was built by Joseph Smith and his followers had moon and sun signs. They worshiped the moon and the sun god. Now, I forgot to tell you that in the Mormon faith, up there on that planet Kolob, the father god had a number of sons, but two of his sons were Lucifer and Jesus. Did you get that? Jesus and Lucifer were brothers up on Kolob, the heavenly planet. And each of them had a plan for planet Earth. And they had a council that met, the God Council. And they decided to give the planet Earth to Jesus. He had a better plan. And that made Lucifer real mad. So he came down to Earth as Satan to see if he could bespoil it and mess everything up. I ain't going to let my brother Jesus get all the credit, says his brother Lucifer. That planet's going to be mine. That's the Mormon doctrine. A polygamous Jesus, God of only one planet. You can become God of your planet with thousands of wives. The great father God is on some planet called Kolob. But I suppose he has other father gods and grandfather gods and great-grandfather gods on other planets. Very curious. Very odd. That's Glenn Beck. Another Jesus. Another gospel. Another spirit. And the Mormons don't believe in the Trinity. You know, they don't believe Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No. They don't believe that at all. Check it out. They don't believe that. Well, also at the Glenn Beck big rally, God and Honor Country rally, giving the little prayer was John Hagee. Boy, talk about the Jewish connection. John Hagee was there to pray for them all. Now, John Hagee is a guy who put out a whole book saying Jews don't need Jesus. They got their own country. They don't need Jesus was not the Messiah of the Jews. I should have asked that woman who called me the other night on the radio show and was so angry at me saying, I worship the God of Israel. I should have said, well, your pastor, John Hagee, says that Jesus is not the God of Israel. So who is your God, lady? Jesus is not the Messiah of Israel. You know, that doctrine made John Hagee very popular among the Jews and rabbis like Daniel Lapin. John Hagee and hundreds of other so-called Christian pastors have started an organization called Christians United for Israel. They meet once a year and they have thousands and thousands of people show up, all these Christians, so they can bless and love and honor the nation of Israel, the devil nation of Israel, that is. But John Hagee tells all the people at our big rally and conference of Christians United for Israel, we cannot say the name of Jesus. We don't want to offend the Jews. You know, my friends, the Bible says that if you do not confess Jesus here on earth, the Father in heaven will not confess you in heaven. Think about that. John Hagee says, let's not mention the name of Jesus. It would offend people. Okay. Up in heaven, they're not going to confess John Hagee as a Christian. Enjoy your days in hell, Mr. Hagee. Well, John Hagee was there and he prayed. You know, the average Christian pastor ends his prayer by saying something like, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And well, he should. But John Hagee says, we ask these things in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that Jesus, John Hagee? I guess not. He didn't want to say the name of Jesus. That might offend Rabbi Lapine, who was standing next to him. Pseudo-Christians, fake Christians. Amazing, isn't it? Now, let's talk about some things going on. The reason for all this, the reason for this fake rally, this counterfeit Jesus, this ecumenical council of Satanists behind Beck who are brought to the whole world and claim to be of God. The Council on Foreign Relations knows how important religion is. It can be used to warp, to manipulate the minds of men. They have set up a religious round table. That's right, the Council on Foreign Relations, which, by the way, is composed of about 75% of its membership being Jews. 75% of the members of the Council on Foreign Relations, including Barack Obama, including Rahm Emanuel, are Jews. And Imam Rauf, you know, the guy that wants to build the mosque in the Muslim worship center, two blocks from Ground Zero, that Muslim, Rauf, he's one of them. He's part of the Council on Foreign Relations. They're round table. But guess who else is part of the Council on Foreign Relations? Well, there's a Jewish rabbi. There's Pastor Rick Warren of California, the purpose-driven Satanist. There's also Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention. You see, they're putting it all together. There's a Catholic cardinal. The Vatican, the Protestants, so-called, the Jews, the Muslim, Imam, they're putting it all together. The CFR is, and they've got this religious round table. And Henry Kissinger is the chairman of the group. And the Vatican Pope Benedict has invited, or appointed, I should say, Henry Kissinger to be the Vatican's spiritual advisor. Did you know Henry Kissinger, who is a Jew and an atheist, is the spiritual advisor to the Pope? He's officially, I'm talking about officially, this came out in all the press last year, the spiritual advisor to the Pope. And he's head of this religious round table. Another member, by the way, of the religious round table, as well as the United Nations Alliance of Civilizations, is a Masonic group named the Sojourners. And there's a fake Christian pastor named Jim Wallis, W-A-L-L-I-S, who's part of this Sojourners group. And he's a member of Henry Kissinger's organization. Oh, I know Jim Wallis quite well. That's a Masonic Christian group. They're bringing it all together. All the false religions, all of Satan's religious people. And Glenn Beck is their ambassador. He's putting it together. And of course, the Jewish ADL, the Zionist billionaires are behind it. Rupert Murdoch, one of their own, a Zionist freak, a billionaire, is the owner of Fox News Channel and its parent corporation, News Corp. The Glenn Beck deception. They're scamming the American people. And millions are falling for it. They pull Glenn Beck out of the crowd. He's a face in the crowd. And made to be the religious Pied Piper of Satan himself and the Illuminati elite. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Been great to be with you. My prayer is you will tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.